Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Well, the dust has settled on another NFL draft. Matt and I talked a lot about it right after the draft concluded on Saturday night, of course, our initial reactions. But now here we are, 2-3 days removed, and digesting everything, the fan reaction, the media reaction, our own reaction, meeting with prospects and seeing them in press conferences. Matt Bove here, Sal Capaccio. It's always game day in Buffalo. Have you changed on anything you thought in any regard about the picks, the players, whatever it is, based on what we talked about on Saturday night versus where we are now?
No, I haven't changed on anything since Saturday night. I was thinking about this the other day, though, since we last spoke. I would like their wide receiver room if Stephon Diggs was still in it with Keon Coleman as the guy with potential, but I still think that they need something else. And I was on a walk on Monday night with my wife and our baby, and I got the notification from Schefter that Michael Gallup is signing a deal with, I believe, the Raiders for like $3 million. And that was the type of deal that when I heard it and I saw it, I was like, wow, I think that something like that would have made sense for the Bills. Now, that's not to say that something like that isn't coming, but as we wait for them to get that money in June, there will be more guys who are unavailable. So, you know, while we're recording this, Zay Jones got released earlier today. That's probably a name that Bills fans are going to immediately be drawn to, because 2 years ago, we had a lot of success in Jacksonville. Last year, not so much. And then obviously, they're the bigger name guys like a Tyler Boyd, like an Odell Beckham Jr. I just don't see a world where this is the wide receiver room they go into the season with. It just feels way too scarce still.
I totally respect that and think that they absolutely could make a move. I don't think it's some sort of big swing. Would Tyler Boyd count as a big swing? Would he count as a guy like that? Like, where do you rank him?
No, he's name recognition. Yeah. No, I don't think he's a big swing. And I don't think Odell Beckham is a big swing either. Yeah. Odell Beckham had less catch. He had less catches last year than Khalil Shakir. You're paying for the name, but you're also paying for the upside. And I don't really trust any wide receivers in the Baltimore offense. So that's why I like betting on the upside with him. He would cost most of the $10 million that you're freeing up. But I just think that's at least more respectable, just because it's another guy you know who can produce. It wasn't that long ago that we watched him absolutely dominate the first half of that Super Bowl before he got injured. That Rams team changed when he got there. I still think he can play. I don't think he's going to come in here and be a 100-catch guy, but if he can come in here and be a 50- or 60-catch guy, I think that's what they need, because it's just not all these targets can be going to Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, and Dalton Kincaid. Like, they need somebody else.
Well, I think it does feel like they're building a team where it's 50 to 60 targets is, you know, kind of like what a lot of guys are going to get. You go back to Joe Brady's offense in 2020 with the Carolina Panthers. That was a lot of what they did, the distribution. Now, he was without Christian McCaffrey for most of it, but even then they used, you know, running backs out of the backfield. You do have James Cook as well. Let's take a look at the wide receiver depth chart right now. They did have a signing, actually. after we did our podcast, Quintez Cephas from the Detroit Lions. Now, this is a young man who was suspended last year for violating the league's gambling policy. What he did was he bet on NFL games. Nothing he did compromised any games he was involved in or the Detroit Lions games, but he was in that group of Lions players. There was a Commander player as well that were suspended. He was reinstated. The Bills signed him. I went back and looked though, Matt. What's funny is when I found out they signed him, I'm like, okay, well, maybe there's your speed guy. No, I'm not exaggerating when I say this. He's as fast as I was in high school, 4.7 40. Yeah. 4.7 in the NFL as a wide receiver. This is a classic possession wide receiver. So It's not like they've added that to it either. It feels like they're really maybe thinking KJ Hamler can be their speed guy and crack the roster, which is a lot to kind of think about. So If there is a guy, they still need more speed. I'm not really sure. I don't know really what they do more than that other than, yeah, they might go out and get, I'll go back to what I said. I don't see a big swing, but maybe they do bring in another veteran here at some point. I just think it feels like it's more the same if you do that.
I don't think any move that they would make at this point from free agency is considered a big swing. If these guys are still available, I don't think that they quantify as like, oh, this is a big move for the Bills. I think it's just like, okay, here's what's left. When they signed Leonard Floyd, nobody was like, ooh, that's a really big move. It was like, oh yeah, that's a smart, savvy move for a guy that was somehow still available. That's what I think they need to be looking for as far as wide receivers are concerned, whether it's free agency or it's some sort of trade. Another name that makes sense to me, and I've seen his name floated around out there, I don't know why they would move him. But do you think there's a chance the Broncos would trade Cortland Sutton? And if they did, would that be a name that you would be interested? Because it's, once again, not speed. But I'm not so much worried about speed. I'm just worried about like legitimate NFL production that we've seen for a sample size that isn't just, you know, a season or two.
Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton have been rumored to be traded for the last 2.5 years. It's just wild, right? And they're still sitting on both of them. I don't think, well, where did Jeudy go? Jeudy did get traded. He got traded to the Browns.
To the Browns.
Right. And,
the Browns.
But I mean, like, they've just both been, yes, I do think there's a chance that they could trade Cortland Sutton. There's been a lot of smoke about maybe the Steelers possibly being interested, but that's also with Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. But I know Cortland Sutton's not Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel, but I will say this, no matter who you trade for, they're going to cost a little money too. They got contracts and you got to try to sign them to an extension. And I just feel like that's why you don't do something like that. It's not necessarily fiscally responsible for the Buffalo Bills. Now, Here's something I did think about a little bit differently was, okay, maybe it's not right away, but you get this $10 million freed up and they also have a lot of draft capital next year, right, Matt? Like they got two twos, two fours, they're going to get more comp picks. Do we get 5-6 weeks into the season, trade deadlines approaching, and the Bills then say, all right, let's go get a guy who we can absorb now on a final year of a deal, who the team is kind of out of it. Let's go do that. Now we got a third, like they did with Russell Douglas. We could trade a third. We could trade a fourth. That's where I think maybe the bigger swing could come, maybe in some form of move like that.
Yeah, but you got to get to that point. And we don't know what their schedule is going to look like. We don't know how the season is going to go. It's on paper, a more challenging schedule than they've had. I just think that you need to be coming out of the gate fast. And I think that you need to start strong and you need to have as many weapons as possible before you even get to that point. Is that an option? Definitely. It didn't work out, but it's almost like what they did with Kelvin Benjamin.
Correct.
The year that they ended up making the playoffs when they didn't think that they would by giving up a third round pick for him. That one didn't work out, though. I just think of like a player like Cortland Sutton. I've got a spot track up right now. He's got a cap hit of $17.3 million. Is that a lot of money?
That's the Broncos cap hit. It wouldn't be. What's his base salary?
$13 million.
That's his cap hit for the Bills if he was to be traded to another team.
So I don't think that that's that unreasonable, right?
For two
more years? Like, I don't know if that requires.
Well, there's two different points to this. Is it unreasonable for the player? No. Can the Bills afford it? No.
Well, not now, but in June. They'd have to do one more thing.
Matt, that's all of their cap space eaten up.
I don't think that they're done trying to open up cap space. Like, there has to be something else.
They have to pay their rookies. It's going to cost probably about $4 million, let's say.
$4 million.
They have another $2 million opening, or $10 million, excuse me, opening up. Brandon Bean said they have, what, three available right now? Did he say that? Mm-hmm. Didn't he say something like that?
He said three available, but I don't know if he meant three of it. This is going back to the conversation we had when we were in Florida for the owners' meetings. Is it $3 million that's actual available, or is it $3 million, but they still have to pay $4 million for the draft
picks. It's 3 million available. He always operates in what they have right now. It's from what I can tell. And out of the 10 million, he also said a lot of that's going to be eaten up by signing the draft picks. My point is this. They're not spending that kind of money just on a good quarterback. They always have to have something in reserve for injury replacement. And he even said that it's changed with the practice squad rules and how you pay people and how they count on your salary cap. So I don't care who it is, whether it's Cortland Sutton or someone else. I just don't think that they're in the market to be able to pay anybody that kind of cap number.
Yeah, but I mean, I know it's a different situation, but we were talking the same way about the Bills kind of cap situation last year. And then they managed to get Leonard Floyd. So I don't know how that was like $10 million.
He was a free agent, but he was a free agent and they did void years.
Sure. But that almost more goes to the Odell Beckham conversation of like, would Odell Beckham Jr. be feasible? I don't know, but they made it work with Leonard Floyd. So maybe they could do something similar with Odell. I'm just thinking, I don't know why, but I went back and I watched a bunch of games from the Bills in 2019. Just like normal stuff that we have in our archives here at WKBW of just watching the games. The offense with even John Brown, Cole Beasley, like the people that they had, was so meh. And I know that these guys that they have now, and they have Dalton Kincaid and James Cook and Josh Allen has reached another level. I just think they need somebody else. I agree with Dalton Kincaid. I like Curtis Samuel.
I agree.
I just don't think that they're set there. I'm shocked they drafted one wide receiver.
I am legitimately
shocked.
I am totally on board with you. I just think the options are limited. And there is a difference between trading and signing. Yes, I think if you sign somebody, you can make it work. Like, I think trading for somebody who has an existing contract seems like it's a little bit taller of a task. But you're right. You can always trade and you could rework the deal. I mean, you can do things like that too. And there's always that possibility. All right. But talking and speaking about their wide receiver room, let's just kind of pick apart the depth chart real quick here on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga, Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Sal Capaccio from It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. It's not just a podcast. It's the 25th hour of your day, your weekly source for all things Buffalo Bills. Right on time, your time. In the car, navigate the streets with NFL wisdom in your ear. We accompany every errand you need to run. Washing the windows or vacuuming the carpets? Don't just clean, conquer. Podcasts make you more productive because we fit perfectly into your schedule. Follow It's Always Game Day in Buffalo in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so they signed Quintez Cephas. And Matt, you know that I have the Bills roster, the chart, and I always put it out when they make additions. I kind of didn't know where to put them because here's what I have. I have Samuel, Coleman, Shakir, and Hollins. Are we going to agree they're the top four, however you want to? That's it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. After that, here's who I had before Cephas: Justin Shorter, Andy Isabella, Tyrell Shavers, Brian Thompson, KJ Hamler. Now, I do think they believe KJ Hamler can rise up, but right now I'm like, dude, it's been a couple of years, hasn't really played, couldn't crack the Colts being on the practice squad last year. I'll keep him on the bottom, below guys who have been in the organization for a year. I put Quintez Cephas actually right below Justin Shorter. I have Samuel Coleman, Shakir, Holland, Shorter, Cephas, Isabella, Shapers, Thompson, Hamler. But again, this goes back to your point of, okay, like you need more there. For me, the issue is the top end of the roster, the top four. This is like a discussion you would have about the Sabres. They need another top six guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's a top four guy.
Yeah, exactly. It's somebody that could take Mac Collins and put him at the top of that next tier. That's what they need. They need somebody else who's going into the season that it's we're past the point of them going out and finding like a legitimate number one. That's not what I'm thinking is going to happen. But if you can find a guy who's at least a serviceable two, that's what I think you need. And then if your top four is Curtis Samuel, Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, and somebody else who's at least closer to kind of that tier, then I think you can feel a little bit better about it given the other weapons offensively that they have. But also, what if there's an injury? If there's an injury at wide receiver, they're like, I'm just the nightmare would be that all of a sudden you're in a playoff game and your wide receivers are Mac Collins and one of the other guys, and you don't know what you're going to get out of these players. So yeah, I thought that they were in a little bit of a nightmare scenario last year in that playoff game against the Chiefs because they didn't have Gabe Davis. And you're like, well, why are they throwing these deep shots to Trent Sherfield? This isn't working. Well, now they don't have Stephon Diggs either. They don't have Gabe Davis. They don't have Trent Sherfield. It's like, what can we expect from these guys?
Okay, so I think the Bills would tell you, well, you guys are not talking about Dalton Kincaid. Because, yes, he's listed as a tight end, but he is obviously a really big part. In fact, what are the odds that Dalton Kincaid leads the team in targets? I actually think it could happen.
Oh, I'm expecting it at this point. Okay. Unless they do something different.
So isn't then... I'm not defending this. I'm just asking you. Isn't then, if we look at the depth chart, actually, shouldn't we say, well, Dalton Kincaid, your number one receiver?
No.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, not a true number one receiver. But he's going to be used like that. What do we say about the Chiefs? Well, look at the receiver room. Now they have Travis Kelce. People bring it up all the time.
Yeah, but Travis Kelce might be the best tight end ever. And Dalton Kincaid is going into year two. And Patrick Mahomes is unbelievable. So I don't think that it's a sure that might be the blueprint here, but to ask Dalton Kincaid to all of a sudden, like, Dalton Kincaid had a strong rookie season, but he's not all of a sudden going to just get 100.
Know. He's not going to be Travis Kelce, but if he's your number one targeted pass catcher, shouldn't we be talking about him? Because I think the Bills would tell you, if you ask Brandon Bean right now to break down, he would include him, and we're not. Yes. That's my point.
Yeah. Well, he would include him in. Because that makes it look like it's less of an issue. Don't you think?
Sure, I get it. I don't know how I'm trying to ask this to get, like, I'm not getting where I want to go. I'm sorry.
No, I understand what you're saying. That Dalton Kincaid should probably lead this team in targets, but even if he leads this team in targets, they have way more targets that need to be spread around. He had, what, like 71 catches last year on, you know, like he had a really good rookie season. Even if he has 100 catches next year, which I feel like is probably the ceiling. Like 100 catches for a tight end would be a ridiculous season for the Buffalo Bills. But that's not enough. And there's also just not the big explosive, big playability that you have when you have a wide receiver like Stephon Diggs or when you have a wide receiver who can stretch the field. Like Dalton Kincaid is going to catch.
What's six, not enough? Yards. Not what you're saying 100 targets isn't enough for your number one? Like, what do you mean? 100 catches, I mean.
No, I'm saying if that's where he gets to, that's good. But then there's still way more targets that need to be spread around somewhere. And that's where I don't know where they're going. Because he already was pretty productive last year. So even if he has another 30 catches, they have way more than 30 more catches that need to be distributed to people.
Right, but I think we're both in agreement then that it's very unlikely that any of these other guys get over 100 catches, right?
Oh, I would bet. I would think that would be a really big long shot that any receiver on this team gets over 100 catches.
The only player we think could do it is Dalton Kincaid.
Yes.
So therefore, I go back to what I said earlier, which is I think that maybe we have to kind of think of a little bit differently about how we're thinking about this is my point.
Yes, you're right. But that doesn't mean that that's a good idea.
Okay.
That's where I am. I am fully expecting Dalton Kincaid to be their number one target on offense, but I don't think that's a good idea.
If he's
a 1B and there's a 1A, like if they still had Stephon Diggs, and I know that this is a hypothetical, and we saw his production come down and Kincaid's go up, that would have been the way to kind of bridge this gap into what the new look offense is going to look like. I just think that even that is too big of a step to just assume that he can take.
Maybe Dalton Kincaid never lines up on the line and blocks and he just becomes a slot receiver full time. I don't know. I'm being facetious, but I don't disagree with you. It's not a great idea. I'm coming at it from more of an analytic standpoint of maybe we have to kind of rethink how we think they're thinking about the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I know. But I think that they're thinking about it more of like, we're going to distribute the ball to everybody. Yep. We're not going to force the ball to anybody. We're going to try and play a more balanced game. Like, I think that in their heads, that's what Joe Brady wants to do. And they think of Curtis Samuel as a guy, okay, we're going to get him the ball. We're going to let him go do things. We're expecting another step from Khalil Shakir. These are all very reasonable things to, you know, assume that you're going to be able to execute. But my issue is there are times when you just need a guy. There's times when you need a player who you know is going to make a play. Now, Diggs was not that guy in the postseason, hardly ever. So maybe they think that they can, you know, get more out of somebody else. But, and I don't know, there's just a lot of games when Stephon Diggs was the best player on the field for them or the second best player on the field, and now he's gone.
We talked a lot about wide receiver, and justifiably so. I asked fans today to send us their favorite pick and their least favorite pick from the Bills 2024 draft. Got a lot of really interesting answers, mostly because Keon Coleman was on a lot of lists in both ways, Matt. Keon Coleman was favorite and Keon Coleman was least favorite for a lot of people. Let's go to Bill's Reddit, who says the center, SVPG, getting a guy who can develop into the center of the future is great. Least favorite, Travis Clayton, wonderful story, but even depth level, kind of a wasted draft pick. Nick says favorite pick was the safety, Utah, Bishop, Cole Bishop out of Utah. Least favorite was Keon Coleman. Seemed like a reach. And what else we got? Favorite again, Koala Bear says SVPG. And then Grable, least favorite. Interesting. Okay. Here's a favorite for Keon Coleman now. This is Nathan. Least favorite, Ray Davis. What do you say? Favorite, least favorite, for whatever reason that is.
Ooh, that's a tough question. I would say my favorite pick is probably Keon Coleman, but it has less to do with the player itself and more the position, because I at least appreciate the fact that they recognize they need a wide receiver. And I think that the upside is there. I think Keon Coleman could be a really good player. And I think that since he's been drafted, I've started to do a lot more research, reading, looking into his game. And I'm not as concerned about the speed as maybe some people are. I just think that he's going to be, it's hard for me to make the argument I just made about them still needing a wide receiver and now come here and say that I think Keon Coleman's going to make an immediate impact, but I think he's going to. It's just not going to be nearly what we saw from Stephon Diggs and maybe even from Gabe Davis. I'm going into this season expecting Keon Coleman gets like 50 to 60 catches, a couple touchdowns, some really nice big-time catches, but also, hey, you still need to address wide receiver. So Keon Coleman is my favorite pick because of at least the position, and then they addressed it with somebody who does have that upside. My least favorite pick, I don't know. I don't have one because I don't know. I can't tell you that any of these guys are definitely going to work out or they're not going to work out. I would say the corner from Penn State, because he's just basically a returner. Yeah. He's 5'9". I don't see him getting a path to the field other than as a returner. So that's what I would say.
My favorite would be Javon Solomon, because I think when you put up those kinds of sack numbers, you have a chance in the NFL. He's productive. And he went to Troy. This is a school that produced OC Umenyura and DeMarcus Ware. And he had more sacks than them there. And he led all FBS in sacks. And then I went and looked at his size. He's the exact same size as Jerry Hughes. And I think that's really cool because it shows that he's an undersized pass rusher, put up big time numbers. I think he has a chance to translate. And I just love talking to him too. And I think he's got all the different, you know, things that embody what you're looking for in a guy and in a player and those kinds of things. We talked about the leadership qualities the Bills brought in, but this guy, he even talked about, I asked him, why didn't you go to Alabama or Florida State? You grew up right there. And even in NIL and Portal, you didn't do that. And he's like, because once I was at Troy, they made a commitment to me. I wanted to see that through friendships, community, teammates. I just loved all of that. That's my favorite pick. My least favorite has nothing to do with the player. I just don't like picking running backs in the fourth round. They took Ray Davis, a running back in the fourth round. I mean, he's got to play now. And I don't know how he's going to play that much to justify taking a running back in the fourth round. He's also going to be 25 years old. They're going to play him for 4 years and move on from him most likely, which is fine. Yeah. It's what you do at running back. Nothing to do with the player. The guy had 1,000 yards in his career at three different schools. It's fine. Yeah. He may be a fine player. He's not starting over James Cook, and I'm fine with Ty Johnson as the backup.
Yeah, I don't hate the Ray Davis pick for the reason that you say is a negative, that he's 25 years old. I don't think it's a negative.
I just think it's kind of odd.
Yeah, no, for sure. I just think that maybe that's exactly what they're going to do. Yeah. For them, that's what they're thinking is the cost for 4 years of a running back is probably your number two guy. And I would imagine with James Cook, they have to figure out, is this a long-term contract or do we just go draft another guy on day two? And Ray Davis can be the consistent backup guy. The thing I like about Ray Davis is the big play potential, even though he's not super fast and he's a little bit undersized. He's undersized from a strictly height standpoint. But, you know, I was talking in our office here to somebody who I work with who's a pretty big Bills fan, and they were like, I just don't get how they would draft somebody that size to be like their, you know, short yardage running back. And I was like, well, he's almost the same size as Maurice Jones-Drew. And that was never an issue because he was a little bowling ball. He's actually 10 pounds heavier than Maurice Jones-Drew was, and he's an inch taller. So I don't think that the size scares me away. I like your call on Solomon because I think that when you can get to the quarterback, you can get to the quarterback.
Yep.
I know he's going to be going against way more talented people, but we've seen it translate for all the other guys that you mentioned. You left out Mario Addison, former Bill, who had a nice career. Like Mario Addison was a nice player. So I don't mind those.
He went to Troy.
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The only other one that we haven't mentioned who I really like, I don't know. I don't think he's got as much upside as people that they could have taken, but I also think the floor is a lot higher. I just think Dwayne Carter is going to come in and be like a really good rotational defensive tackle.
Agreed. I really like him too.
I think that's like the safest pick that they have. I feel like in that day two range, that's almost what you're looking for. I feel like you've got to go for the upside at times, but Cole Bishop and Dwayne Carter to me both feel like pretty safe picks. Sure, they've got upside, but I also think the floor is pretty high on those guys.
I like that call. Elko Hours on Twitter says his favorite was Dwayne Carter because I believe he's a day one rotational piece and a need. And I agree with that. And Brandon Breen said plug and play. He's going to play. He said his least favorite is Ray Davis, drafting a nearly 25-year-old running back when you get a cheap UDFA rather than picking this late. I mean, he's cheap anyway. He's on a cheap contract. I don't care about that part of it. I don't care about the 25 years old that much. Just so everybody, I just think it's wild that he's 25. But it is kind of like getting a running back coming into a second contract and getting him only for a first contract. And I just don't like the value for a running back in the fourth round. All right. More draft talk, of course, as we dissect it, but we also have probably the NFL schedule coming out next week, Matt.
Yeah.
I'm Brett Boone, host of, you guessed it, the Brett Boone Podcast. All season and all off season long, I bring on friends, teammates, broadcasters, everyone in between for in-depth conversations about baseball, life, and a lot more. You'll get our thoughts on current happenings in the MLB, hot sports topics, and a look into my life after baseball. Catch the Brett Boone Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt Bove, Sal Capaccio. It's always game day in Buffalo. After talking with Mike North and looking at the dates, do you expect the schedule on Thursday, May 9th?
Yes, that's exactly. It's funny. That's kind of what I have here on my, I just made our, now that the draft has kind of come to an end and the Sabres coaching search is already done, I was trying to plan out my next month or so. So I have on here Thursday, May 9th, 8 p.m. schedule release. Keep an eye on Monday through Wednesday of them releasing games individually on the national morning shows that are affiliated with whatever their program is. So like Good Morning America will probably announce the Monday Night Football opener, and the Today Show will probably announce the season opener on NBC or in something along those lines. So that's what I'm guessing happens. I won't be shocked, though, if they do it the following Thursday. But right now I'm kind of thinking May 9th.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so a couple of questions. Let's do a little prediction here, and we're going to talk again before the schedule's released. Maybe we'll see what we can do here. Home or away? Where are they opening? Home or away? You didn't have to give me opponent. Are they opening at home or are they opening away? By the way, they do have 9 road games this year, 8 home games.
Home. They start home this year. And I think that this year could be a pretty lackadaisical season opener. And that would be totally fine by me. Like, I think you
What are the lackadaisical teams on their home schedule that would qualify for you to say lackadaisical?
Bills, Patriots, 1 o'clock. in Orchard Park.
I'm for
Drake
it.
May's great, great, awesome. I doubt Drake May plays. He'll probably, I mean, if he does, then sure, that becomes that much more interesting. But, you know, Jacoby Brissett rolling in here week one, that would be, I think, for the Bills, honestly, like a very ideal way to start the season.
Me too.
After last year, starting the year on the road with that really just bad loss, it kind of, it didn't slow them down because then they went on a heater for the next four games. So they rebounded quickly. Or maybe they start in primetime again. That won't shock me either. But I think that this year they start at home. I know that you've pointed out the Bengals starting 7 years in a row on the road, but the home opener is like a national holiday. Not a national holiday. The home opener is like a holiday here in West New York. Not a national
holiday.
A local holiday for sure. So I think that this is the year they finally come back home.
Yeah, I'm feeling home too. I don't think it'll be road three straight years. I like your idea about more of a nondescript type of game. Could that maybe be a Tennessee? Jacksonville would be interesting with, you know, the revenge factor. You know, you factor in that kind of thing with Gabe Davis, Mitch Morse, like something like that, Chad Hall and that staff, right? So just things like that. The game they had in London last year, that'll be interesting. Do you think they get the max primetime games? Six?
Yeah. Or,
and let's count a Thanksgiving, a Christmas, whatever, night games, those kinds of prime times. I know that the target for primetime is shifting. We get that. They're going to be scheduled for the max.
I think they get five games that are played at night and one game that is played on a holiday, whether that's Christmas Day, Thanksgiving, Black Friday. I'm almost assuming that they get one of those days this year.
What's most likely?
Huh. What's most likely is
out of those three.
Christmas, probably. That's probably what's most likely to me. What I would want the most would
Let me ask you a question before you go. Hold on. Did he say how many Christmas games? Just one, right?
It's just one, yeah. Yeah, it's just one.
Because of that, I'm going to say it's not as likely. It's literally two teams out of 32. There's three games on Thanksgiving. They already are scheduled to go to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you have that nighttime. So I'll say most likely Thanksgiving, but I don't dismiss Christmas either.
Yeah, I just think that they do so well in those time slots.
Yeah.
And then coming off of a year where they didn't get onto that time slot, the thing that makes me steer away from Thanksgiving a little bit is that you could put anybody in that window against the Lions and it'll do a huge number. So I don't know if you have to waste that game. I don't want to say waste it, but I don't know if you need to put the Bills in that window. I think you could put the Bills, you know, it would be fun. That would be a sneaky, really fun season opener. Buffalo at Detroit. Like Sunday Night Football or something, that would be a sneaky, really fun because those are two teams that are like, that would be a really, really hard game right out of the gate. But it's not something that would be shocking to me.
Buffalo, Houston, primetime?
No.
425 CBS national.
425 CBS. That's what I think for that game.
Because a lot of people believe it's a primetime week one game, and I just don't see it.
Because here's my reasoning, though, for the Houston game. Every single year, and we should do this, every single year we kind of put down what we think happens with the schedule, and there's always a couple games that surprise people as far as primetime is concerned, because it does all have to fit together. So last year, the week before the schedule came out, I don't think anybody would have said the Bills are going to play the Broncos, the Bucks, and the Giants in primetime.
No.
But those were three of the primetime games that they got. So that's why this year, I think we're going to be surprised by I think you can slot in a couple divisional games in primetime. They'll probably play the Jets and the Dolphins at some point in primetime. They'll probably play maybe the 49ers or something. Like that.
Oh, I think the 49ers is a
Monday Night Football
primetime game. It's he kind of indicated that. He kind of sneakily said something about that, like how important that game was going to be on the schedule and, you know, one of their assets, basically. By the way, my prediction is they will not play on Black Friday. Black Friday will be in New York again. It'll be the Giants this year, probably. Because think about it, it's Amazon. And they pay all this money, and Amazon probably, you know, where they want people, the shopping capital of the world, to not go shopping. They want them to be home. Yeah. So that makes more sense to have it in New York. Last year, you and I broke down favorite road cities that we're going to go to.
Yeah.
Which road trip are you looking forward to seeing where it is the most on the schedule?
It's a great question. You always look for Miami late. You want Miami late in the season, right?
Yeah. I'll tell you mine. Mine is Seattle.
I was going to say the same thing.
And I'm hoping what I'd love, the perfect scenario would be Seattle right bye before week. Or right after bye week, because yes. I know that my family would like to go out there and visit. And that makes it a little easier to be able to do something like that, because then we don't have to work necessarily on the front end or back end as much.
Yes, that would be my absolutely. I think if you let me pick one thing on the schedule, well, two things. One of them would be that Seattle is either before or after the bye week. And yep. The second thing would be the weekends that we have Taylor Swift tickets, the Bills are at home, because that show is in Toronto. So if the Bills are on the road that weekend, that would mean the tickets are for Saturday night. That would mean that I won't be able to go to the show,
yeah,
which is fine. Like, my wife can still go. Our family can still go. But I'm sure she would probably just want to be able to go as we originally planned. So I would say Seattle for me is very, because Seattle's an interesting one, because you don't want Seattle too late, because then the weather might be not as ideal. The last time we went to Seattle was actually, I specifically remember this. It was in November. It was in early November of, I think, 2016. That was the date. It was a Monday Night Football game. The reason I remember this is because the election was the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So the That's presidential right. election between, Hillary? It was Hillary, right? Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. That was the presidential election in 2016. So I remember waking up out Seattle time and then flying back home then kind of following along as that day went on. So that was
Richard Sherman, Dan Carpenter game.
Yes. And then
and the end of the game, Tyrod Taylor. Let me tell you too about though, before I lose track of this, actually we wouldn't want it after the bye week, because the Bills still have to practice here before that. We want it before the bye week, because once that happens, then you're off basically. After the bye week, you still have practice here to cover, and then you got to get out to Seattle. So I would want it after the bye week. I do remember that and being on the sidelines. Speaking of that, you're talking about the weather. I am very excited about this year's road schedule, because as the sideline reporter who's outdoors in the elements, I get Houston, which is a dome. I get Indy, which is a dome. I get LA, which is LA and a dome. I get Seattle, which probably is going to be good weather. You never know, but could be whatever there. It might be a little rainy. I get Miami, which is really nice weather. I get Detroit, which is a dome. All I'm left with is the Jets, the Patriots, and the Ravens, with really possibilities of bad weather.
What I would love, and I think this would be, I want to say this for everybody, for anybody who goes to these Bills games, I think a Christmas trip to New York would be elite. Like at that point, because it's an easy double dip.
I like that.
I would love that. And I think Bills fans would love that if the Bills play against the Jets the week before Christmas or 2 weeks before Christmas, and you can drive down there and you can spend an extra day and you can go do all the Christmas things in New York, and then you could go to the game and then come back. I think that would be really cool. Boston's another one for me. Like, early Boston would be amazing, because Boston in the fall is great, especially if it somehow overlapped with like a Red Sox game at Fenway. Another great opportunity to do a double dip if you're a Buffalo sports fan. That's what I always like the most. I always like when we go somewhere and there's something else going on that I really want to experience. You know, a couple of years ago when we went to Boston, the Celtics played the night before, so that was cool to go see. When we were in Indianapolis for the combine, the Pacers were home, so we got to go see the Pacers play. That's what the year that the Bills opened the season against the Rams, you went to an Angels game. I went to a Dodgers game. Both teams were home for that couple days beforehand. So it's especially for people who are traveling. If you go, you want to be able to stack these things and get all these different experiences all on one trip.
No doubt about it. Thinking about it and looking at it, I would say another really cool city. I think you'd agree with this. If people are thinking about like a good city to visit, there's always the Miami. There's always the Seattle. We've talked about it. I think Indy is a really nice trip. If you haven't been to Indy, folks, it's a nice city. It's a cool city. We go for the combine, lots of great restaurants. I like Indianapolis as a destination game.
I like it here. Yes and no. Okay. I like Indianapolis. I really like it. But when I go to Indianapolis for work, it's you work all day, you go out to dinner at a nice restaurant, and then you go to the game. If my wife, for example, say that she wanted to come to a trip, I don't exactly know what I would take her to do. And that's coming from somebody who lives in Buffalo. I'm sure there are probably a million different things that you could do in Indianapolis. I just don't know what's like the, ooh, I got to go do that while I'm there. You know what I mean? Like, if you go to LA, it's It's like, oh, well, you'll go to Santa Monica. You'll go to the beach. You go to Seattle. There's like a million different tourist things to do. So I
know what you do. You take her to St. Elmo's to get her a really, really great shrimp cocktail.
Yeah.
I know. I know what you're saying, but everybody's different. I get it from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is there an event to do? Maybe, maybe not. I'm saying for that purpose, there's bars and restaurants that are great to hang out in and experience the city.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be cool too. Like legitimately, if does the WNBA season, when does that start?
Yeah,
cause I know people will want to see, I don't know. So if it starts and overlaps at any point with the NFL, I don't think it does though. Right.
Mid-May, I'm being told by our producer, Mike Rabier.
Mike, when does it go until?
When does it go until? Mid-May is when it starts. So
October 20th is the last possible finals date. The playoffs begin in late September. Okay. So it would require a like week one, two, or three game in Indy. But if you want to get to experience Caitlin Clark, then that would be your chance to do that.
Okay. Looking forward to it. What else on the schedule? Anything else that you want to kind of touch on real quick before we get to next week here? Kansas City. Chiefs Bills. Does it go back to tonight? Does it go back to a night game? Does it go back? Sunday 420, afternoon?
425 CBS in Buffalo, week 10.
Okay.
Something like that. Like that's just what I'm the way Mike explained it to us of like CBS gets so many Bills games, so many Chiefs games. And if you move that, then you've got to fill both of those spots. And this checks both of that box. It feels like it's a little bit too convenient. Could it go back to Sunday Night Football? Absolutely. Nobody would. Here's another really interesting layer to this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Does that game now go to Monday Night Football? Because Jason Kelce is now part of the Monday Night Football broadcast. Would that be something that they would want to do? That's another layer to it.
Wow.
Because he was in the suite.
Now you're going next level on me, Bove. That's a great thought.
He was in the suite. He comes out. He takes his shirt off. There's that whole ordeal. Does he come to do a Monday Night Football game? Like, are they trying to get that onto ESPN? I don't know, but every network wants it. So it's just a matter of which network ultimately gets it. The one thing I will say, though, is ABC ESPN hasn't had it yet. So maybe that's one of the reasons why, because it's been on Sunday Night Football. It's been on CBS multiple times. Maybe ABC gets it now.
Listen, if you didn't hear what Mike said about this to the listeners now, to how they have to balance the properties of the games and who wants it. Matt just said everybody wants it. It's super fascinating. Go check it out. It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Mike North, the Schedule Pod. We did it a couple weeks ago. It's fantastic. There's so much information. I always say, if you're thinking about watching a movie that takes an hour and a half, don't. Go listen and watch the podcast, which is an hour and a half. I think it's even more interesting. That said, we need to thank everybody because the numbers have been off the charts over the weekend. And I'll just tell you, if you go to the South Sports YouTube page, first of all, thank you. Past 7,000 subscribers. I really appreciate that. I got this particular podcast, also have Sal's House, which I got a lot of things, cool things planned coming up. But Matt, I mean, over 10,000 viewers on each of our draft podcasts and climbing, which is really amazing. And that's not even the audio, that's the video. So if you're just listening on audio, awesome. You can go watch us on video too and see our smiling faces.
Yeah, no, the outreach, the outpouring of support has been amazing. So it is very much appreciated. I've admittedly started to get like a little addicted to going to YouTube and just checking the videos to see how many views that they have. It's just way too convenient to go look. So definitely excited about that. We're going to continue to kind of keep growing this aspect of the podcast and kind of just continue to grow all aspects of it.
Yeah. And on top of that, when you go there, obviously, we'd like you to keep subscribing. But I finally figured out how to make sure the comments are always on. I had some trouble with that. I always thought, I turn them on. So comment. Like, we love your comments. You read those comments. I don't as much. I do read some of them. I want people to know. I try to avoid some of that stuff because I go down rabbit holes too much. And, mm-hmm. you know, people say things and they kind of get you mad. And I don't want to do that. But we're always there for you to comment, of course. You like reading those comments.
Yeah, most people just tell me that I stink and that Sal needs to find a new co-host or something. So I just note it, put it in the back pocket. Okay, thanks, everybody. I do read them, so try and be nice.
I just saw Bree walk behind you, so I know that you got to get back to work right there. She's awesome, too, by the way. And you can catch Matt and her on WKBW TV, Channel 7. Of course, WGR Sports Radio 550. Thank you very much to our producer, Mike Rabier. We appreciate all of his help. Schedule is on the way next week. The draft dust has settled. Bills rookie mini camp next week as well. We got so much more to talk about here on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo.